Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Coming up in here on a Monday, first Monday of December. Glad we have now reached the final month of 2024. Let me tell you what's going to be a tough month for your boy. We got wife's birthday. We got Christmas. It's a double tap of a month for me. So I'll be happy when I get through it. But we're happy we're here. Happy holidays to everybody. To John, who's got a still growing family, a beautiful family. To George as well. George got a pretty beautiful family of his own. We'll probably get to know more about George's family in the months to
George
come.
George got kids, man? You got kids over there?
No. No,
okay,
no.
He's denying that he has kids, but we actually got some mail into the radio station.
Got some more.
You have to answer for
some more intel on
you
George.
You may be the illegitimate father of somebody.
We are coming off of what a week it was.
Yeah,
so much to review.
Yeah,
I know John wants to start with the win down in Tulane.
No, I don't know if I'd want to start with that.
And it was huge. It was absolutely huge. Bears fired their coach.
Yeah,
I'm almost breathless about that. Just the excitement of what could happen now.
Mm-hmm.
As we go after one Ben Johnson, try to hurt Detroit by taking their offense coordinator. The possibilities really are endless.
Yeah.
Maui Invitational.
Yeah.
Proud.
Extremely.
We are proud here in Memphis.
Extremely.
After a runner-up finish, ran to a juggernaut.
Yep.
Named Auburn. Maybe the best team in the country. We'll discuss that. And then how about what the team whose home they call FedEx Forum has done of late. Since we've been 6 in a row, complete a 4-game homestand, 4-0. And, John, they're absolutely rolling. The numbers say they're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
How about a round of applause for a great week, holiday week of Memphis sports? And hopefully, John, more to come. More goodness to come.
Well, you were talking about it when I was out with one of my various ailments that I continue to be afflicted with. That this was the time for the Grizzlies in the schedule to kind of create some padding, some separation in the standings, and they have done exactly that. Ja Morant is back. That always helps. That always helps the circumstances when he is out there and healthy. So it was a great come from behind win yesterday at home against the
Good
Pacers.
Tidings.
They had a little case of the itis to start. You know, you get that itis when you get that turkey in you.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a there's a specific scientific name for it.
Trick to something.
That's it. That's it. Tryptophan.
Put us together, we can usually figure it
tryptophan
out.
Tryptophan is what you get, and that is the itis.
Put you to sleep.
But they eventually did wake up from their mid-afternoon nap, and they put away.
Did you have a lot of turkey for your Thanksgiving?
No, I actually did. I had chicken.
You did some
really.
Chicken. We learned that about you last week.
So
that's
I had a little bit of turkey. I had a little bit, not a lot, not a lot, but a little.
Cool.
Nothing crazy. I did buy my first batch of holiday Christmas gifts, and
good for you getting ahead
like you. Breathless, just for different reasons,
you're
right?
Fasting from procrastination.
Yeah, I'm getting some.
You're getting it done early.
It comes in rounds, right? You got to buy, okay, the initial batch for the kids.
Yep.
Then you got to take care of the side piece. Then you got to take care of the wife. Then you got to probably get the kids again.
What a terrible family thing you got going on.
Oh, I'm prioritizing. I'm prioritizing the kids.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I'm doing.
Okay.
You know, and then
we
I
know
sort
you're
of,
lying.
I'll sort of branch out from there. But that was definitely, that hurt for sure. I'm going to need to pick up a few Field of 68 gigs, after that one.
Or win a couple more bets.
Yeah. I'm going to have to figure something out, brother. Cause that one hurt. Anyway, yes, lots to get to, on the show today. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. And then Jeff Calkins is going to join us, at 1:25. It was a hellacious weekend in college football. We're going to have some chaos. There's no doubt about that.
We had literal brawls on the field.
Everybody's planting flags now.
Georgia almost lost.
When did that start? When did the flag plant thing start?
I don't know, but it seemed rampant.
Yeah, no, it was like, Ohio State or Michigan did it, and then everybody else did it.
NC State, NC.
Florida State?
Florida State.
Did Ole Miss do it, George? Ole Miss did not do it. They're too proud for that.
Didn't have to.
They're too proud. Well, first of all, they're at home, right? So I guess you don't do it when you're...
These were road teams winning.
Right. So I guess you have to be on the road.
Did you see how fired up that Ohio State player was?
Yes, he was ready to
look like he would have killed somebody.
Yeah, because he went 0-4 against Michigan in his career. Jack Sawyer is his name. Memphis should have planted the flag on Tulane.
Man, get up out of here.
They should have done it, man.
John, you're right. I mean, it was huge.
They should have done it.
We're ranked now, by the way.
Ranked.
Notice I say we're.
Yeah,
I've always been a
It
tiger.
Didn't feel like a we on Friday night. I'll tell you or Thursday night, I'll tell you as that.
I was attacked a little bit.
It felt like you had some bitter-ass cranberries.
No, the cranberries were sweet.
Yeah.
Made even sweeter this week by the firing of one Matt Eberflus.
It's almost impossible to know, like, where to start, bro. Like,
bro, again, why was that not? Because they were so good.
The Memphis Tiger football team.
Yes.
Yeah. No, they were. They clearly were.
That was the one that 11 of 28 athletic experts before the season thought would be the group of five representative in the college football playoff.
That's right.
And so it was yes, it was great for the players, and really, and I stress this, the folks that went down there and made the trip, all the Memphis fans, because you saw that it was felt great for all of them, but you know, it was also a reminder of what could have been this season.
There's no
so
question about
excuse
that.
Excuse me.
No, I mean, I understand.
For putting a dose of reality with your turkey there.
No, it was.
Well, with your chicken.
Nobody asked for that.
With your chicken. I mean, oh, you're going to get it.
Nobody
what,
asked.
What is that? What's the promo? The real show.
I guess
they,
that is.
They don't come here for laughs.
That's
do they
don't.
Come here for the real. And if it's got to go with the turkey underneath the cranberry, but you got to get it because you need that dose of reality.
That's right.
It's coming like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just
so
trying
how
to.
How y'all choose to receive it is
I was just trying to enjoy my nice warm meal, man. And you come with the medicine.
Yeah, I see. Ryan Silverfield got tattoos. I saw what you were tweeting.
Well, I he did. He got tattoos, bro.
Yeah, he looks locked in for life, doesn't he?
He got the, but then
Frank, are they real? They can't
no,
be
Frank
real.
Told me
those
they
are
were
not real.
Some henna tattoos.
There is no way. On both arms? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with Ryan Silverfield, as are all y'all, apparently.
You ain't happy. You ain't happy.
I'm very happy with that performance. Hey, we're number 25. What time we play this week in the AAC title game, George?
I think we both know the answer all to this question.
All righty then.
So. Yeah, I mean, listen.
Celebrate.
I suppose the toughest conversation is the best one to go ahead and get out of the way first.
I don't. Again, we don't need to say. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade.
Well, I don't know.
You understand what I'm saying? I hear
I mean,
that
it's
that's
a nuanced
that's
discussion.
Considered small.
Well,
in
I
today's
mean,
age,
you got to take that up with who you got to take that up with.
No, but. No, seriously. Anybody that's you know wants to celebrate 10 wins, man, that's great.
Back to back.
There's no question about that. That's 20 wins, John.
20 wins in 2 years.
With a chance to get 21.
Chance to get 11. They'll be a favorite in their bowl game. I mean, I'm almost.
How many of the guys you think will stay for that game? Now, I think that's an interesting conversation.
I think most will.
Okay.
I mean, because it's their real last ride.
Right.
You know, and if they're going to play a Power 5 team, they'll probably be getting a Power 5 team where that is not the case.
So who are they getting? Florida?
I mean, I saw that. That was one projection in the Gasparilla Bowl.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell you. I mean, I'm hoping that 10 wins gets you a decent bowl. I don't know all the tie-ins.
Out of the Birmingham is what you would call decent.
I would hope so. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad ones that the AAC has tie-ins to. So I'm hoping that there's a spot somewhere for a Memphis team that, has really overall, win 10 games and has put up points and has the players that they have. I would hope there's a spot for them in a halfway decent one. But I'm not holding out a ton of hope for that. But, yeah, I would expect everybody to mostly play, especially like, DeRozier hasn't played all year long, right? Like,
yeah, could see him playing, and Mario Anderson not playing if he's got a future in the NFL.
Could be, yeah. But, yeah, listen, I think it's definitely a complex conversation because, it's
I don't think it's very complex because I would say that I'm not moving any goalposts. When we said before the year, we looked at the schedule and we said that looks like 10-2.
Right.
We said a loss to Florida State.
Yep.
We know what happened with them. But we also said one AAC loss.
Right.
And we said if you lost two in the AAC,
yep,
you're playing with fire.
Yeah.
Right. And we said obviously this team was picked to go to the AAC title game. Haven't done that in 5 years. We get it. And you're still here. And I realize you get the win over a top 20 ranked Tulane team.
Yep.
But the pressure was off.
Totally.
Right?
When you're a 14-point underdog.
Right. Let's just put it all out there. We'll get done with it. Put it out there on Twitter. I feel like Ryan let Seth Hennigan down. Not in that game, obviously. I'm talking about his career, not getting Seth to a title game. Keep in mind the two losses that have you out of the AAC title game. Seth threw for 825 yards, 6 touchdowns, yes, 2 interceptions. That to me is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You gave up 100 points in those two losses. Your defense finishes 76th at SP Plus. It wasn't a good enough improvement on that side of the ball. John, you were what, 111 last year? You go up to 76. You still got an offense that's 21st in the country. I'm not going to blame Seth Hennigan or this offense or even offensive injuries, guys, because DeRozier's clearly that would have helped you this season. Sutton Smith, we know, when they slipped from what, 10th last season, 9th or 10th, to 21st in the country. 21st in the country nationally, George, should be good enough for an AAC title game. It's a defense that's 76th, and you look over and you say, well, why are Tulane and Army in? Both of their offenses don't compare to yours. You've got a higher-ranked offense. They've got better ranked defenses than you. And so when I say that you let Seth down or you failed him or you wasted him because you didn't make an AAC title game in 4 years, it's because you didn't put a complete team around him. Whereas 3 years ago, you didn't have the run game. The last 2 years, you haven't had a good enough defense. Army and Tulane put good enough defenses out there, certainly better than yours. In Army's case, it's 30-something spots better than yours, whatever, 30-something spots. That's why they're in there. And so I won't blame this on an offense or Seth Hennigan, a pick here or a pick there. This guy gave you everything that he had for 4 years and maybe played hurt this season.
Yeah.
Certainly looked like at times he was.
Yeah.
That's, again, a credit to him, to his loyalty in Memphis. You didn't build a complete enough team around him to have him where he should have been, which is an AAC title game.
Yeah.
And to me, right, that's you wasted a good thing. The AAC's all-time leader in passing yards.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to own a ton of these Memphis records. And so, yeah, maybe it comes at a time nobody wants to hear it because we want to look at 10 wins and say, man, that should feel good. But let's be real. If it was 10 wins with conference championship appearances, you'd be feeling a lot different. And frankly, your coach would be on some real lists to be hired somewhere else. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. Again,
I
can understand the timing, sort of being, oh, he wasted Silverfield. Man, you're going to do that after they won a 10th game? I can understand some people having a problem with that. But to say it's a cheap shot or not reality, or to blame it as I had someone, maybe Seth wasn't good enough. No, your defense wasn't good enough. And again, there have been holes in this effort now. And the difference was this year you were picked first, John. You had more than anybody else. There have been holes in this effort all the way around. The buck stops with Ryan. That's it. But yeah. We're locked in.
Yeah.
You know, he's got 5 years on the contract. You get the 1 year extension,
right?
And we'll see what happens without
extra with 10, as people thought. You had to
make the championship game to do that.
So it's that's an important distinction here. Yeah, listen, I can't really argue with anything you said.
Because it's only facts.
Right.
But to blame Seth,
yeah,
right, no, for some of the reasoning, wrong to do.
Well, yeah, the fact that Seth is still here is crazy.
In the end, Bill Hargrave, your president, is talking about it's the most anticipated season in Tiger football history.
Yeah.
You finished fourth again.
Did they finish fourth?
It's tied for third with Navy.
Tied for third.
You lost.
You can't say they're fourth. They're tied for third, man.
Okay, they tied for third. They were fourth last year. They were picked first this year, John.
I guess they lost to Navy.
But they lost to Navy head up, and you can call it a tie for third to make it look a little better, but in the end, it's fourth.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. You're right. It's basically fourth.
Fourth again.
Yeah.
You were fourth last year, but fourth this year in a year you picked first. You go out, you have the NIL, you make moves. That's disappointing to me.
Right.
It's not a change of the goalposts. We said it was non-negotiable. They had to make the title game.
Yep.
It's a disappointment. Here's what I'm going to give you. 10 wins for two straight seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. That it's 20 wins.
That's a good foundation. That's a good foundation. But
that foundation, again, doesn't even include an AAC title game appearance.
Yeah.
With perhaps, arguably, and you and I would not pick him, but at least your most prolific, your most accomplished quarterback.
And, I mean, a guy who was in the program for 4 years.
Anyway, I'm not going to push back at anybody that says, Jason, that was bad timing, that's whatever. But folks that want to push back and say, well, Seth Hennigan's the one that I will push back on those. He was good enough, and you absolutely let him down not making a conference title game. We're going to watch Army and Tulane. You just went out and showed you're better than Tulane. We're going to watch them play in the AAC title game this week. It's a disappointment, especially in the year you were picked first. This was supposed to be your year.
Yes. No, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just not. I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and try to sell this as some great job or some great season. It was a very good finish to the season based on the fact that you were 14-point underdog.
We looked and said 8 or 9 wins would be an absolute disappointment. We said this is 10-2. This is one loss to Florida State.
Right.
You can lose one in the American. What we gave you is some of those big ones are on the road.
Yes.
But this is the year you step up because
you got to win games on the road.
You got Rock back. You got Mario Anderson,
right.
South Carolina. Look at the season he had.
Yeah.
I mean, you had everything you needed.
And it came down, unfortunately, you actually still had a path. But what it came down to was you couldn't put away a UTSA team that basically had nothing to play for.
And exactly, and don't tell me that they turned some corner or whatever else because they went up to Army and lost.
Yeah, I mean, they
Army maintained that 8-0 record. So, again, I'm not going to blame the AAC. Yeah. I'm not going to, blame the injuries to Sutton Smith and to DeRozier. Clearly, they hurt. But your defense that wasn't good enough, and the buck stops with Ryan. So, it's not a fun conversation. Because it's reality, but maybe we'll get a Josh Pastner, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are only so many coaches.
Or again, maybe Ryan will break through next year. But again, it'll be starting over in many ways. We'll see without Seth.
Yeah,
and several other key guys that you're gonna lose.
Yeah. So listen, like I said, I'm not gonna try to sell you on it. It was a good year. It was not a great year. It was not the year, quite frankly, that Memphis football needed to have, because now you go into an offseason of, immense uncertainty, right? I mean, you have to find out what you're doing at quarterback. You have to find out what you're going to do at wide receiver.
Well, they've certainly got the resources to go do all that, and they've got a 4-star already locked up.
Right, the
quarterback.
Oh, you're talking about
Antoine.
Okay. But they also just got the leading rusher for Iowa in 2023 from a year ago.
I mean, again, I think that's key. That's keeping a good thing going in terms of Blake, Mario. Those guys go over 1,000, have great years. You can hopefully keep those guys coming in. I mean, Mario, you were able to snag from South Carolina. Blake, you pull from Old Dominion. So hopefully you keep that going. But I think even more importantly, you do need that transfer quarter, transfer portal quarterback that's played a little bit, where you can come in and have a competition with your freshman next year. I'm hopeful Ryan gets it over. Everybody knows, he's too locked in to fire at this point. You're not firing a guy that's won 20 games in the last 2 years. But I'm here to tell you this was failure this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think
– And you can spin it any way you want
it,
and you can put lipstick all over it. You were picked first. You finished fourth.
Yeah.
In my book, it's tied for third with Navy. They beat you head up. It's fourth.
I'm fine with that.
That's the same as last year.
Yep.
This was too good a team for that.
Yeah. So
we move.
Yeah, we move. Disappointing, because there's no question that when you watch what Memphis did against Tulane, they look.
Yeah, I think I would have less to say if they go down there and lay the egg, I would say like some of us expected to. You knew at least that line was too large.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an easy speech.
Oh, yeah, that was super easy.
But you saw that. But my point, I think if they just go down and lose and you don't see the reminder of how dominant this team should have been this season, then okay, you just go out with a whimper. And I probably got less, you know, less frustration, less aggravation about this whole thing. That was the team we were supposed to see all season long. That, yes, okay, lose one game in the AAC, not give up 100 points and losses to Navy and UTSA.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like
100 points and the two losses.
Yeah.
So I cannot blame Seth, who threw for 825 and six touchdowns in those two games.
Yeah, Seth was.
He gave you everything he had. He played Seth hurt. Guy played through stuff. No, he ain't the greatest quarterback you've ever seen from a talent standpoint, but he gave you everything he had.
Yes.
And he came back with the hope of making the AAC title game. It's unfortunate they won't do that.
Absolutely.
The effort was suddenly there on that side of the ball.
You know, now the conversation moves to, all right, does Silverfield get a Power 5 sniff or a Power 4 sniff? Does he get it?
I saw the name with the, you know, how real is the North Carolina stuff? Who put that stuff out there?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard, I have a couple didn't people come from North Carolina.
That didn't come from FAML.
I think it came from Football Scoop.
Okay.
Football Scoop. Football Scoop said he is the name that's not to be discounted, I believe, sort of the way that it was put.
And then is Arthur already out of that? I've saw some reports that say he's not interested. Arthur Smith.
You've seen more than I have on that.
Okay.
I saw a couple of the things about Arthur Smith. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing he's not out, but it's still kind of, I mean, it's the same thing that we always see with these alum who end up wanting to maybe go back to their university to coach, but I'm hearing it's kind of a coin toss for him. What do we think of maybe Purdue?
I was thinking about Purdue because at some point
he's got more safety here, but I realize that's a Power Four.
It is.
You're gonna go get your head beat in. You'll be done, and maybe out of the industry in terms of as a head coach.
Yeah, because good. I mean, possibly. In fairness, I had never heard of the Purdue coach before he got the Purdue job. Ryan Walters. I don't remember where he came from. So it's not as if that's some like feeder. Although wasn't Jeff?
I mean, again, it's a Power Four. It's a restart. He feels like the fan base doesn't appreciate him here.
Is it
he's
not trying comparable to, hand you 10 to wins a year the Georgia and tell Tech you job that Josh left for? I mean, it's kind of that.
I think in many ways it do. That's why I called it a Josh Pastner.
Yeah,
you know.
So you like okay? You just it's not a great
Josh
job.
Josh went there all crazy and won Coach of the Year first year. But in the end, you know.
Yeah, but I think what Ryan does have going for him, and I'm not like trying to like. You know, whatever. But I'm just saying, what he could sell.
No, please sell him.
What he could sell
just in case Purdue's listening.
The guy is a good recruiter. I mean, he is. He gets good players at Memphis. So if he could do that at a place like Memphis, I know Purdue is at the bottom of the food chain in the power structure. But like, give him a little NIL, he could get some dudes at Purdue better probably than they're used to. And it's an easy sell. I mean, that job, as I would believe, is not going to be super coveted. You know, by a bunch of coaches, and Silverfield feels unappreciated. I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong. He's certainly going to be feeling unappreciated today, and so it just to me sets up a great chance for him to get a restart. And
I'm just saying it's going to say on that resume no conference titles. We can't act like he's checked every box.
But
on that
so
resume
is probably every candidate that Purdue interviews.
But Purdue would just say we want improvement.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it'll sell itself on regular season wins.
I don't know who North Carolina like. North Carolina's list is probably a lot longer because they have like a little bit of a tradition there.
I mean, it's all Mac Brown tradition.
Yeah,
it hasn't been much of anybody else.
But you know, you got all those regional teams, right? Like the App State coach, the James Madison coach, the Coastal Carolina coach. Like, what are they looking at? You know, I don't know. Like, I'm sure those dudes will be.
I just
very
think you also look at the ACC and you say, okay, well, nobody there scares me in terms of I can't go down. I can go down there and win. I can be the guy that wakes it up. I heard Jeff refer to it in much of college athletics as for a while as that program is a sleeping giant in football. Well, many will sell themselves into saying I'm the guy that can wake it up. That can be, you know, finally sort of erase the only history they have, which is history with Mac Brown. Everybody else has been pretty, you know, so-so there. So I'm just saying that job more attractive, certainly, to me than Purdue.
Yeah.
But either way, it's Power Four. I would think he'd jump at it.
Yeah, so
either one.
Anyway, yeah, it's a
I can put it on my Christmas list, Christmas wish list. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. But
you could definitely
Josh Pastner.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
would like to pull that.
You're allowed to.
I would. Maybe you. Many of you all would love to see.
You're allowed
Ryan
to
here for a lifetime deal
to ask for anything. You're allowed to ask for anything under the tree, man. See what Santa brings you this year,
Maybe this is you get your wish, your Christmas wish.
Well, I know what I'm going to get. Fourth place.
Well, tied for third.
Wow.
Tied for third.
Yeah, y'all going to put all that good lipstick on it. I already know.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I did enjoy the beatdown. If I just remove everything
well,
else.
Well, you enjoyed it because you told everybody all week that 14 was too many.
Of course.
And so we understand why you.
As a Memphian, I also enjoy watching DeRozier put that dude on ice skates, bro. That was funny.
That was nasty.
That was, I mean, he was like, whoop! You know, that's what that looked like. And also, like, Tulane.
That went viral across the nation.
Tulane got the mask taken off, bro. They are not good.
We hurt the AAC with that win.
No, that's true.
You killed any chance they had of making it in terms of the group of five. And that's who everybody thought it would come from, not the Mountain West. But Boise has gone out and done that. So you have to give them credit. I guess they still got to beat, UNLV in the championship game. But Boise has also had high expectations, pressure every game. They have delivered.
Yep.
So you were unable to.
You got.
I want to talk about good things.
Yeah. I
want to talk about tidings.
We got.
I want to talk about John Moran. I want to talk about Grizzlies.
Yeah, you bringing all the bad tidings.
Penny Hardaway. These folks now say that I love Penny. I glaze Penny. I'm hard on Ryan. Racist. Are y'all kidding me?
That's hard to argue.
Are y'all kidding me?
It's very hard to argue that fact.
Said if Penny don't make the tournament this year, he needs to step down. I ain't trying to be friends with anybody out here.
No,
I'm not a racist.
You're doing a great job.
We're seeking the approval of one. You see where that finger's pointed? John has looked upstairs. That's right. I'm going to call it like it is. The promo says we're the real show.
We keep it real on this show.
No laughs.
You don't come here to enjoy the show. You just come here to get that dope.
So you want laughs, you go 2-4.
That's
you,
the laugh
John,
show.
You join 2-4. You want to laugh here? You want to laugh?
No, I don't. My soul is dark and
George
and black
gonna keep
and
it
dead.
Real.
Being a part of this show. There's no question about it. But yes, we got the bad part out.
No, love Ryan.
There is a lot of other good news to get to. I guess we could go with the other Tiger basketball, the other Tiger team, real quickly here. We got out of here on Wednesday.
So proud.
The day after the Memphis beat UConn, who then proceeded to win to lose every.
Not
other
proud
game they
about
played.
That, but Michigan State did us well.
Thank God.
They win it. They did us
Thank
well.
God.
By going out and defeating North Carolina afterwards.
Memphis beat Michigan State. It was basically wire to wire, effectively wire to wire, I'll call it. You never really felt like that game was in much doubt. And Memphis gets the win by 8. They win, they cover, and it was sort of the story of what had been the tournament, right? Tyrese Hunter and PJ Haggerty were absolutely awesome.
All tournament team selections.
Yeah.
Both.
I mean, you had Tom Izzo saying Tyrese Hunter should have been the MVP of the damn tournament if they win. I mean, it was that kind of win for Memphis.
Well, that's it. Except for one.
And then they sadly ran into the buzzsaw that is Auburn. Auburn is not going to be the number one team in America. I think the AP poll probably is out now. They will not be number one. They'll be number two just by virtue of the way those things work. Kansas is going to be number one because they beat Duke and haven't lost. But they are the number, for me,
Auburn has the best.
They're the number one.
I said that before the game.
Yeah. They beat Houston. They beat Iowa State. They beat North Carolina. Yeah. Now they beat Memphis. So, I mean, basically, nobody has a better resume.
It's four top 30s, three top 15s, essentially, wins.
Yes.
Auburn, no, and they'll play Duke this week. Love how Bruce has scheduled. They are a bunch of grown men. That is what they are, and they have an absolute stud in the middle in Jahni Broome.
Yeah.
Who had a double-double in every game of the tournament and was named the tournament MVP, and rightfully so.
Yes. I mean, it was a great week. It was a hopeful week. And, you know, people, I got some tweets that were like, oh, man, Memphis just got completely dominant, you know, showed up by Auburn. And what I would just say to that is they did. I mean, they were never in that game at all. But the bar for Memphis this year was not to be stride for stride with the best team in America in the third or fourth or fifth game of the season. The bar for Memphis, let's just go back. We were just saying this team needs to make the tournament to put the tourniquet on the leg, right? So we've blown past that.
That's a good way of putting
it. We've blown past that. And so now it becomes less about just making the tournament. It's like, oh, man, can Memphis win two games in the tournament? Can they be a second weekend type of team? That's what Memphis has accomplished. Obviously, we know there's a ton of time left in the season. We know there's a ton of opportunity for Memphis, you know, to come undone. It's happened before. But in terms of a 6-7 game start, I just don't think you could have possibly asked for better.
Two things about the Auburn loss 90-76. First off, Auburn is better built for a three-game in 3-day situation than the Tigers. Obviously, if you watch the game, you could tell that Auburn goes 10 deep. Memphis is playing 6-7 eight guys, and so 3 in 3 days, that was obviously stacked against Memphis already, and this was an Auburn team that, unlike UConn, played a bunch of cupcakes coming into Maui, and it showed that was tested beforehand. The second thing is this. As short a rotation as it is, as much as was on P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter all week long, they still shot 50% against Auburn in that game. They go 28 of 56. They were 6 of 9 from 3. Like, the numbers offensively, they only turned the ball over 11 times. My point is that they still played a solid game, even though, yes, to use your words, you have to use what I said on Twitter, they ran into a buzzsaw that was made for it. They had no answer for Broome, but the Tigers still played a really efficient game, as tired as they should have been, and as shorthanded, frankly, as short a rotation as that is. I just think it's... I was really impressed. I mean, they outscored Auburn 45-43 in the second half. I know Auburn lets off the gas a little bit there, but again, they continue to be an unbelievably efficient offensive outfit in second halves. And for the game, they were that again. Only 11 turnovers in that game. They played well, even though the score, and anybody that just caught the score didn't watch the game. Oh, you're right. I mean, even if you watched the game, you saw Auburn controlled it. But Memphis played well. They just ran into a buzzsaw. They need another body. They could really use another big come December, whatever else, if you can get now that we are in December, transfer portal big, five fouls, just if you could use that.
Yeah.
Because they're so thin. And again, if we're talking about, and you're the one saying this now, can you win two games in the tournament? I'd just settle for one at this point.
For sure.
And that's a bump up. But that gets back to, okay,
exactly.
Now you're talking about with this shorter rotation, how deep can you go? I think we saw it sort of stack up and maybe sort of perfect storm because of the team that Auburn is, but it's stacked up against Memphis in that final. I still think, man, you got to come away feeling good about how they performed. Where are they in the new, is the new poll out yet? That was the big question for the Tigers.
It's not.
I thought it was a little early for the AP poll.
Yeah.
The women's is out, but the men's isn't out.
It's a little early.
Yeah.
The other part of that
is, like, you know, it's what you've banked, right? I mean, you have a chance now because you have two quad one wins already in UConn and Michigan State, and you've got, you know, a win against San Francisco that with any luck will age decently well. So you got a quad two win, two quad one wins. You got more opportunities, Virginia, Clemson, the Mississippi schools. You know, you got a chance to, you know, at least stack up two or three more here that if you do what you're supposed to do in the AAC, which, by the way, the net rankings are out, UAB, the preseason favorite, is 260 in the net. Oof. They're 260, okay? That's where this league is.
But we knew it would be light on anything you could depend on.
I did not think it would be that bad. I mean, UAB
is one team.
UAB is a disaster. Everybody they're 4-6. They lost to MTSU yesterday.
Well, now you just can't afford it all. A loss.
That's exactly right.
Zero chance.
I mean, as of today, you have no quad one opportunities, road, home, whatever, in the AAC. At least last year, you had, I think FAU was two.
I mean, you could lose at UAB, I suppose, is the thing that could least hurt you at this point. But even still, that's going to be looked at as a bad loss. Where are they in KenPom now? Didn't realize.
31. Are you talking about UAB?
139, yeah. And you said 200 some at the net?
260 at the net.
My Lord.
Memphis is 31 the net, 31 at KenPom. So they're completely, I think that's a little low, but we know what the net does. It rewards margin. And Memphis has been winning, but they have not been winning with a ton of margin. Again, I think that's silly I think strength of schedule should matter more. But there is also a new metric that the NCAA is considering for seeding this year, which is WAB, which means wins above bubble. And Memphis is fifth in that metric.
Yeah.
So, again, like, there's a lot more that goes into it than just the net. They're evaluating a lot. Memphis has set itself up to get what we have always talked about for years and years and years and years. And, yes, it's true. Memphis has a path, a very easy-to-see path, to a top-four seed. They do. If they get a couple of these and they don't completely ish themselves in the AAC, they will be a top-four seed and have a chance and be a favorite to make a Sweet 16.
These some dogs, man. I don't think they're going to go into the AAC with that mindset of last year's team.
And also,
they've retightened their grip on number one in the country in three-point percentage.
Right.
46.9, which just
and how many times
goes against everything we thought we saw in the preseason.
All Penny has to do is just show his team last year. We were 15-2. We were in the clouds. We were flying high. We were looking amazing.
4-0 in the AAC is what folks forget. 4-0 in the AAC. But those were close ones, remember, with Javon
had
some shots.
And remember how quickly it all fell apart. So don't you get to feeling too comfortable right now.
That's what I'm telling you. Talking about some.
I'm just projecting it out.
We're ready to be top 10.
Assuming that it does not come apart, you will be in a position to do that.
What's your guess on where they'll be ranked today? I'm sure 15. Many will hold what you're talking about still against Memphis. And again, that's why I don't think you're going to see Memphis jump into the top 10 here. Some, I would think most of the AP voters would have him in at this point after the Maui runner-up finish, even though they were not in the rankings beforehand. But you're going to have some that hold Penny, you know, just his last year, that history against him, and not have them, maybe still have him 26th, 27th.
Yep.
And so that'll keep him in the teens somewhere.
Yeah.
You going to give me an estimate, or you're just going to try?
No, I think they're going to be 15.
Slide around that one. Okay.
That's where I think that's where GP's got him. I think that's where Goodman's got him. I think that's just where they'll be. So
yeah, easier for them to slide up there, just one guy voting though, than to get a whole, you know, majority of voters believing that they're that good a team.
That's true.
You understand? That's what I'm saying. There's a range when it comes to the AP poll.
I would say okay.
And some will still have you out. I'm my guess because they're haters.
15 probably your best. I'd say 15 to 20. 20 would be the lowest. I think that's low though. I think if we really wanted to narrow it down, I think it's probably 15 to 17 would be my guess. I think that comes out at noon would be my.
Yeah, it should be within the hour. Within a half hour.
And Louisiana Tech is coming off a bad loss to somebody yesterday.
Did Parth post his? He usually does.
I don't know if he has yet. I think he has to wait till the whole thing comes out. I could be wrong. It was a great week for Memphis basketball. Make no mistake about that.
And La Tech was they're picked to finish first in CUSA this week. You know, the team that you played this week, obviously, you got Arkansas State to end the week on Sunday, but you know, you're hoping that La Tech win won't just be a throwaway.
Yes.
That nobody's going to care about. Hopefully they can get in and stay in the top 100 as CUSA's best. And then you've done, you know, you've beaten the MAC preseason number one, even though Ohio's been disappointing.
Yeah, they lost to Southern yesterday.
Yeah. La Tech lost to Southern after a 7-0 start.
Yeah.
They're still the CUSA pick to
win. No, I mean, you still got to, like, be on your...
Again, I just like that it's not a bunch of... You got Arkansas State on Sunday. It's not a ton of bye games in terms of, you know, 300-level opponents. UConn's played four of those. We saw it didn't do anything for them. And so, for the most part, even in your, you know, your so-so games, they're solid mid-majors, you know, picks to win their conference. And La Tech is that, even though you're right. Very disappointing loss, their last one to Southern, who's in the 200s at KenPom.
Yep. Yep. So
otherwise, they'd have been in the 80s, John. They were in the 80s, La Tech was, before they lost to Southern, which dropped them, you know, into 100-something. So you would have preferred, yes, they come in here undefeated, but still a team that should win CUSA.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So that's the State of the Union on the Tigers. And then, finally, the Memphis Grizzlies.
Look at the standings.
Look at the standings.
Where we were to where we are today. Where we were when we got out of here.
14-7 now. What are they, third in the West?
Yes.
Third in the West. They come from behind. What are they trailing by? 16-18 against the Pacers yesterday in the second quarter. And they not only win the game, I want to say they cover the original number as well with a final 136-121. Ja Morant is back, and it's helping. It's helping a lot. Jaren had 25-8. Ja had 19-8. Bane 16-6-6. It's been a great run and a great stretch for the Grizzlies. And again, this is the time of the calendar and the time of the schedule where you want to create a little bit of a gap between you and the rest. And it kind of feels like this is where it's happening.
I'm glad this is happening because we said it needed to, and particularly at this point in the schedule and with that homestand, you go 4-0 on it. You're now at 10-3 at FedEx Forum. That's looking a lot like it used to look a couple of years ago. Remember last year, you only won 9 games at home, period. We know the myriad of reasons that contributed to that, but you're already at 10-3, and that 10 home wins this season, second only to Cleveland's 11 home wins. You're starting to build back what you had before things got broken with Steven Adams and Ja Morant's decisions and injuries. You're building back to one of the best home court advantages in the NBA again. That's a good thing to see. They're winning down at FedEx Forum. Again, 10-3 is the second best mark at home in the league. And here's the other thing. 7 different Grizzlies against Indiana scored in double figures. It's the 10th time this season Grizz PR had this, that they placed at least 7 in double figures. That's the most in the league. You're seeing a pretty balanced attack, and something that we were all, you know, on red alert about early in the season Grizz won't play their stars. The guys are only playing 24, 25, 28, 29. They won't put them in the 30s like everybody else.
Yep.
You know, they're playing this deep rotation. Oh, Taylor Jenkins, I can't understand it. What they're doing is this balanced attack. And, yes, some guys that you didn't have planned, you know, Jalen Wells, Jake LaRavia before the season in terms of a part of this rotation, have come in and done it. But they've been such a balanced attack, and they've stuck with that. That's the plan, man. I mean, even when you get guys like Vince Williams and Gigi back,
yep,
they're going to try to do this, you know, with one of the deepest teams in the league. And here's the thing, they've been extremely efficient. They've got the second best point diff in the West, and they're one of the best teams in the NBA, top six, top five in net rating. And so you're doing this playing one of the, a top five pace. It feels like everything's working.
Absolutely.
We can nitpick here and there on a rotation. The thing is, in the end, you're fifth in offense, sixth in defense.
Yep.
What are we talking about here?
I mean, you're an elite team.
You're as healthy, you're getting there, as healthy as you've been all season. Oh, by the way, Marcus Smart has looked good in the game since we've been gone.
Yep.
That's starting to look like what you hoped it would when you made the trade for him.
Absolutely.
I mean, what's not to like? Ja's back, looked good.
He's been in control. Don't even have yet.
When on the floor.
I mean, it's scary, dude. It's scary.
It's balanced. It's efficient. It's one of the fastest paces in the league, which is why they're playing. You know, that's contributed why they're playing so many guys play at that pace, and yet they're super efficient. It's been pretty fun to watch, and what's come with it, the result has been them ballooning up in the Western Conference standings to third now.
Yeah,
and what just a game and a half, if that, two games behind OKC, right behind Houston. You got to feel good if you are a Memphis Grizzlies fan.
Do you think they will be? And it's early, so like you know, it's we're still.
And you took advantage of some bad teams.
You did.
So we'll see.
That's part of the league.
Dallas
though.
Has got Luka back.
Teams lose bad to bad teams all the time.
Well, especially after what had transpired earlier in the season, when you drop a couple you shouldn't have,
right,
to the Nets and to Chicago. So it's been good to see them sort of, you know, talking about retightening grips.
Right.
Especially on that home court advantage.
Yes,
you know, moving to 10-3 at home. That's a good thing to see. Just 9 home wins last year.
I'm wondering, just off the top of my head, like, again, I'm not trying to ship anybody out, but do you think, I guess I'll ask it like this, how active or inactive do you think the Grizzlies will be?
Bro, if Marcus Smart is playing like this, there's how he played against Detroit, and then even yesterday in terms of the production, and it's up. But did you, I don't know if, maybe some of y'all noticed, there's a point in that game where I think Marcus got the rebound, or he's about to get out on the outlet, and he steps in front of Pascal Siakam and draws a third foul on Pascal at that time.
Right.
Right? You got one of their best players there now in foul trouble, and I don't remember how many fouls Pascal finished, but it's that vet type stuff.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
They're going to want to see, because of their investment in him, in the playoffs, and now particularly because it's working, John, like we said. They're efficient on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's working. They're going to want to see those kind of that kind of vet IQ. Want to see how much it can help them in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's
true. So to answer your question, right now, it ain't broke.
Right.
So what
right.
you're trying to
no,
Dallas
I
was broken last season.
Yep.
So they needed the makeover at the trade deadline.
Yep.
You're not broken.
No, that's true.
The analytics say you're one of the best teams in the league, and you've done it without all your pieces for the majority of this season. That's what's so remarkable about what the Grizzlies have done early on this season. Again, the schedule has not been the most difficult, and it will turn up. You got Boston coming up. You got Dallas with Luka back. He just had 30-something last night against Portland. He's back from the wrist strain. Thought you might catch him with Luka out, but I think that was his first game back. So it's dude, the Grizzlies are looking like the team, you know, that you thought best-case scenario, top four seed, maybe even better. That you hoped for, and they've done it without a lot of those guys playing key moments of the season.
Absolutely. Well, that's the state of the address. That's state of the union for Memphis sports. Some not so good, some good, and some potentially great.
You would say Memphis football was good.
They're good.
It needed to be great for me.
Right. Fair enough. It's a high bar. It's a high bar that they were, but they had a high bar team.
Fourth last year, fourth this year.
It's hard to square that. It's unfortunate that 10-2 gets you fourth. Obviously, I mean, we can sort of make excuses, but nobody really wants to hear.
Yeah, and I especially don't want to hear about offensive injuries.
Right.
When defensively is where you did not improve enough.
That's right. Do you have the final SP plus there?
How much better was it than last year?
I mean, from 111 to like 76.
I mean, okay. I mean, that's better than, you know, I would have thought.
But Army was 42. Yeah. Tulane was 58.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough.
Right.
And it needed to be more, John, because your offense went from 10th to 21st. Now, that's not a huge slide. You're still a top 25 offense in the country.
Right. But you weren't.
There was a little bit of a slide.
You weren't as good an offense.
And
as,
so there needed to be more improvement defensively. Yep. And more importantly, you just don't need to give up 100 points against Navy and UTSA.
I mean, yeah.
Win one of them.
That's right. That's
and you're in the AAC title game.
That's right. Because you have to win. You have to win on the road. That's
John,
the way it goes.
Just to bottom line, that's not a moving of the goalpost or Jason's extra down, because we said you can't lose two AAC games this year. That's what we said before the season, guys.
Yep.
And the reason it was so frustrating is because on Thursday we saw the team that should have dominated this league, that at most should have just lost one game.
Yep.
It's that UTSA one, man.
Yep.
And then they go lose to Army, a team that doesn't have six times its budget. Right? Yeah. If UTSA got the season turned around, Jason, they're a better team now. Okay. Well, they lost to Army. Okay. They went up. Don't tell me that. You shouldn't have lost that game. You'd be playing for a title this week.
Yep.
Disappointing.
Yep.
Disappointing. You can't. It's the only way you can. It's just you have to take it raw, John.
Yep.
You understand?
Oh yeah. Believe me. I'm as raw as it gets. That's the only way I've ever done it. So,
no, well, you said timing's important. Oh, that was just a low blow. I was having my turkey.
I didn't say low blow.
Wanted to celebrate 10. That's
your spirit.
That's what your spirit said. You said, oh, the only thing I took issue with was I was having my cranberries with the 10 wins.
I think you're thinking about Giannotto. I think that you got me sound like Giannotto right now.
Bro, he put a like on the tweet.
Well, again, what you said was true. What you said was 100% accurate and factual.
Did he waste Seth Hennigan?
I would say that Seth Hennigan, I would say his the potential for the program was not reached under Seth Hennigan. That did Silverfield waste him? I don't know.
By not making an AAC title game?
Yeah, I mean, am I putting that on Silverfield?
When we look at Green Bay and say you got two Super Bowls.
Yeah, but he ain't Aaron Rodgers.
No, out of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
He ain't either one of them dudes, though.
But that's fine, but the point is you didn't make an A. He's the all-time leading AAC passing leader.
It's more like, did the Bears waste Jay Cutler, bro?
You didn't make one. You finished fourth again.
Did the Bears waste Jay Cutler?
You're going to put that on Seth?
I'm not putting it on Seth.
Oh, that's where you want to place it. I can hear it.
No, I'm not.
Oh, y'all, instead of wanting to place it with Ryan.
It's a shared responsibility.
The defense did not improve enough.
Yeah. Seth made some, he made some unfortunate mistakes over the course of his career. I mean, it's not
get Seth's name out your mouth.
It's not just Seth. It's not.
He only threw two picks in the two losses.
If I'm being honest, what really cost Memphis this year?
825 yards.
It was the offensive play calling. I think in high leverage spots.
So they should have scored more in the two games. They gave up 100
instead of saying, no, you don't give up 100. I'm going to tell you this. When they went tempo every single game this year, in the moments that they did go tempo, dude, they could not be stopped. So why Cramsey did not – notice how I use a different name here – why Tim Cramsey did not go tempo?
You can put it on
against
an assistant.
UTSA against – well, he's the offensive coordinator. That ain't like the quality control coach. I mean, come on, bro.
I just can't take – again, your offense was 21st in the country.
Yeah, but it was not as good as it should have been.
That's better than Army, and it's better than Tulane.
Yeah.
I can't look at that offense and say you were the problem.
Well,
when the defense is sitting over here 76th and Army's and Tulane's are better, and so much so that that's why they're in the title
game. But you needed the offense to be that great, and it wasn't.
It was still – 21st in the country is not good enough to make an AAC title game?
It should be. It should be.
If you had a
defense. Now, we thought we had one, didn't we? First three games of the season. But what it turns out that UNA is a joke.
I mean, they showed it against Tulane. They have one.
That
was capable.
But they just got up for that one in such a way.
It wasn't like Tulane had nothing to play for. I think if they win that game, they get.
Dude, they still had a chance at the playoff.
They have home field, maybe in that instance, over Army in the AAC title game, too.
And then if UNLV beats Boise State, they're in the playoff.
Yeah, because their ranking would have been higher than Army's, who had lost before to Notre Dame beforehand, and Tulane would have had home field this week
Tulane
instead of having
to go to
Army. So they had everything to play for. It's a hell of an effort.
It was great.
By Memphis.
It was.
I do not want to take away from the effort, and I'm so glad for the Memphis fans that made the trip.
Yeah.
Because, again, Tulane is your rival right now.
Yeah.
And to get that win, to finish it off down there – over a ranked you number 17
them, what,
team
times?
In the country, something like that.
Five,
I mean, they'd owned you pretty much of late. And so that's I felt great for the fans. I felt great for the players.
Yeah.
But it was also aggravating in the sense this was a reminder of
that's fair.
How Memphis should have looked all season.
And we can't just say,
well, it's because DeWozier was back.
Well, no,
your defense is what let you down in the Navy and UTSA games.
Right. Got to address that, man. There's no doubt. There's a lot to address. There's a lot to look inward on.
It's frustrating.
And but, because you're losing a lot on defense, too, right? You're losing, I think Greg Rubin is gone, right? I assume.
I think so. I think Chandler's got another year of eligibility.
We'll see
but
if
I don't
he uses it here.
Back.
You know, I mean, yeah, you got you got a lot of pieces you got to figure out on that side of the ball as well. So anyway, that was the week in Memphis sports. Overall, really good week, no question about that. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Stick around, Jason and John. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Make your first NBA bet a swish with FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because FanDuel's got all your favorite bets from who will win the game to how many points a player is going to score. Plus, check out newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers. Go under on Ja on the dunks in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts or after it's already tipped off. You can pick up a W whenever, and now's the perfect time to get in on the action, because right now new customers can bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets. If your bet wins, just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith for your chance to score $150 in bonus bets. Have a ball, betting ball. With FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Paul Feinbaum, Fine Beezy, or is it Fine Boozy in 2024?
Shaboozy.
That's your man right there, bro.
I introduced him, his music, to my wife this weekend.
Okay, there you go.
She didn't even know what was going on with Boozy.
Baby bought a Berkey.
He had been at the BET Awards,
yes.
But I think most black people forgot about
and
him.
He was also at the CMT Awards, but there were people had an issue because they felt like he was not embraced at the CMT Awards.
I imagine.
Even though he had the hottest, quote-unquote, country hit of the year.
Which they played at halftime on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they played it everywhere.
Detroit.
She's been telling me all night long.
I knew you loved it. I know you'd be singing that in German.
My daughter loves it.
You love it. You sing it right with her.
It's catchy.
Yeah. It's a catchy song. You don't like it?
It is catchy, I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's
wife said the same thing.
It is what it is, man. It's not.
What it's done is erased our hopes of Moneybag, and who's that one he did with?
Morgan Wallen.
That one, and any hopes of it taking
that,
off and being
song
the one.
Sucked from the
it
beginning.
It got buried by this one. It got absolutely buried by Boosie.
Whiskey got in it. That sucked, bro.
It had a chance.
That song was absolutely. They played
but
that.
But we got buried by Shaboozy.
George, they played that one at on the Grove, don't they? Whiskey gonna be hearing.
They said that they played that at Windjammer back in the day, which
nah, dog. They loved Moneybag and Morgan Wallen at the Grove.
It wouldn't shock me.
What do you mean?